Some of you are no doubt thinking to yourselves now, do I remember last week correctly that we looked at this particular text last week? You are correct. But because we skimmed over the last part of this particular letter, I thought I'd go back and look at verses 24 through 29 in a little bit more detail than we did last week. Let's read those verses again in Revelation chapter 2, verses 24 through 29. But I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not known the deep things of Satan, as they call them, I place no other burden on you. Nevertheless, what you have, hold fast until I come. And he who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. And he shall rule over them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. May God indeed give us ears to hear what the Spirit says to us as a particular church in the Lord Jesus Christ and as individuals united to Him. Several years ago, in another denomination, I was preaching in Maryland in a church there who was seeking a new pastor, and I did stub my toe a little bit because I sent a tape to the individuals who are part of the search committee, and I didn't remember what I had sent them properly, and I preached the same sermon again in the congregation, and it was some time later. But anyway, as we got together and met with this search committee, one of the ladies said to me that I insulted them, that I had preached the simple gospel, and they wanted things that were a lot deeper than that. And I'll not forget that incident, because it seems to me that the simple gospel of Jesus Christ does have profound depth, even though it may be quite simple in its essence. And I really do rebel at the thought of people saying, you know, we want things that are a little deeper. Sometimes I, however, hear from others, don't be so deep, Denny. I do get that other criticism. But I think the thing that we ought to realize is that the gospel is very plain, very straightforward, and at the same time it has a great deal of depth. And so I lay before you at the head of the outline in the bulletin this proposition: serve Christ with eternal perspective and down-to-earth practicality, and you do reap everlasting benefits. And isn't this the case? And I think when you boil it down, this is exactly what the end of Revelation chapter 2 does have to say to us. And so we're going to look at verses 24 through 29 as time permits in a little bit more detail than we did last week. I say in the first point in the outline, don't probe so-called deep things. Be content with the burden of following God's revealed will. Verse 24 says, but I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira, you who do not hold this teaching, who have not known the deep things, and of course, those words are added of Satan. Many of the commentators zero in on those words, the deep things. And one of the reasons they do so is that the Apostle John was faced with a heresy in his time known as Gnosticism, where people thought that because they had a relationship with Jesus Christ and they were united to Jesus Christ, they ought to get special messages. That because they were united to Christ in a special way, they ought to have special words from God. And you know, there are people like that today who think that they ought to have special words for God. And some of them will even tell you that they do have special words from God. And they'll tell you what car you ought to buy and who you ought to marry and what store you ought to purchase your groceries from. They get down to telling you these kinds of things. It's absolutely amazing because they think they have a special word from God. And there are those that do involve themselves in these kinds of activities because they desire deep things. They want to be connected to God in a profound way. And they think that the proper way is the way of some sort of mysticism. And so they like the idea of their being Christian, do I dare use the term psychics, where you get special words and can really feel the presence of God in special ways. The problem is that too often when individuals indulge themselves in these kinds of activities, they wind up exactly in the position against which this particular letter warns. But I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, who have not known the deep things of Satan, you see, you wind up in the wrong ball game. You wind up playing in the wrong court if you are interested in this deep mystical route. I think there's a real warning here. And too many professing Christians need to take heed to this warning. You wind up with the teachings of the evil one. You see, verse 24 says, I place no other burden on you. What is the burden? Well, I would call to your attention 1 John chapter 5. Just turn back in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5 for a moment. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. What's the burden that we have? The burden that we have, folks, is expressing our love to others and our love to God by way of following the written will of God. See, that's the burden we have. And the written word of God says that this is really not a great burden at all. You see, the proper way is to ply the pages of the written word of God and to come to a deeper understanding of God Himself and of our own selves and of the way of God by way of this written word of God and follow that written word by the grace of God. See, that's the burden. I lay no other burden before you. And I think that's great. I really do. As some of you know, I've had the opportunity of doing some premarital counseling here of late. And I've really enjoyed that. I really have. It's been a lot of fun. And I have another couple that I'm doing some premarital counseling with right now. And it's very interesting because one of the things that I zero in on in these counseling sessions is none other than the doctrine of God and the Trinity. And we talk about that and the outworkings of the doctrine of God in our own personal lives. And there are some very profound things that come out of that. See, it's the Word of God with which we wrestle. And when we understand the Word of God and the love of God properly, I think a lot of problems dissolve. I really do. It's not those so-called deep things with which we ought to concern ourselves, but we ought to be content with the burden of following the revealed will of God. Back to Revelation chapter 2, verse 25, where it says, "Nevertheless, what you have, hold fast until I come." You see, folks, what do you have? You have the Word of God. You have the grace of God. What more do you need? Do you need something else? All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, that the man of God, the person of God, may what? Be equipped for every good work. See? What you need is the Word of God and the grace of God. That's what you need. And when you have the Word of God and the grace of God, oh yes, you need to go to school and you need to learn English grammar. We're not learning English grammar well enough these days. And we need to learn mathematics. And we need to learn these things. But they need to be in the context of properly understanding the Word of God by the grace of God. You don't need other deep things. And so the Bible here says, what you have, hold fast until I come. Dear friends, hold fast to the Word of God. Hold fast to the grace of God. And work those things out that you learn in the Word of God in your lives by the grace of God. And do so until Jesus comes. And He may come for you in death. Or He may come for you, if He does not tarry, by snatching you up while you yet live. But hold fast to the Word of God and the grace of God. What a wonderful thing you have in these two. It's tremendous. Part of what is involved in holding fast is working these things out. And I'd like to give you an example of what this means by turning back to Philippians chapter 4 in verses 11 through 13. Philippians 4, turn back there with me, would you? In Philippians 4, 11 through 13. Paul says in Philippians 4:11, "Now I speak, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance you have placed me, Lord." When we were at our Presbytery meeting in Western Kansas and interviewing a young man who is in seminary, he said to our committee in charge of examinations, in response to a question, "What is it that you think is one of your needs?" And he said, "You know, I need to be content. I need contentment in the circumstance that God has placed me." And he said, I don't think that's something you can learn. But I think that's something that God has to give you. And I'm praying that God would give me contentment." And so I opened the Bible to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11 and read, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am." And I said, "You know, the Bible says this is something we need to learn. It's part of the understanding of the Word of God and coming to grips with the Word of God by the grace of God. learning contentment. And God places us in various circumstances and in various situations so that we learn contentment in those various circumstances. And we've got to do that. And notice what verse 13 says. Look at it. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. What does that verse refer to? Contentment. Now, I'm sure that many of you have quoted that text out of context, have you not? I'm sure you have. I have. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The context of that verse is learning contentment. Can you learn contentment? Yes, you can. I can do it through Christ who strengthens me. The Word of God says we are to learn contentment, and God gives us grace to do so. Hold fast to the Word of God and to the grace of God, dear friends. You see? You see what's happening here? It's a tremendous principle, it seems to me. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 26. And he who overcomes, and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. I say in verse point 3 in the outline, follow God rather than Jezebel, you will share in the blessings of Christ. Jezebel is mentioned earlier in this letter, in verse 20. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet and teaches and leads my bondservants astray. We talked about this last week, and we said that the problem with Jezebel was the introduction of idolatry in Israel. And Ahab, when he married Jezebel, went in the direction of worshiping Baal and serving idols. And we said that the great idolatry in our country and in our society today is the worship of self. And we used as an example the proliferation of the teaching of self-esteem. And we looked at the Bible, where the Bible tells us that we are to esteem others greater than ourselves. We really need to do that. We ought not to engage in self-worship. We ought not to follow Jezebel in this idolatry, but we ought to be God-centered in our lives. We ought to follow God. We know this is true, do we not? And what will be the result? Look at verse 26 again. And he who overcomes, and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. There's a tremendous promise here, folks. It comes from Psalm 2. Would you turn back in your Bibles with me to the second Psalm? Psalm 2. Psalm 2, which we read earlier. Revelation chapter 2 quotes from verses 8 and 9 in Psalm 2. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as thine inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as thy possession. Thou shalt break them with the rod of iron. Thou shalt shatter them like earthenware. God the Father speaks with God the Son, and he says, ask of me, and I'll give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. In other words, God the Father promises to God the Son a people for himself. Who are those people? That's you and me. You are a gift of God to Jesus. I think that's something. I really do. And as I observe this congregation, not large, I observe that there are not only in the midst of this congregation those who are Scotch-Irish, but there are many other nations represented. Isn't that the case? Even in this small congregation. Say, what do you do with a guy that's English and French and German? Or, what happens to be your pedigree if it's not Scotch-Irish? You see. God the Father says to God the Son, I'll give the nations as your inheritance and the very ends of the earth as your possession. He's talking about people like us. I think that's tremendous. And the wonderful thing about this is that the way God is pleased to give to His Son tribes and tongues and people and nations is through the preaching of the gospel, through the propagation of the Word of God, and the application of the Word of God to the hearts of men and women by the Holy Spirit, by the grace of God. And so we're back to the Word of God and the grace of God. And we are called as a people not to follow our own thinking, our own desires, our own wills. We're called not to follow Jezebel, but we're called to follow God. And when we follow God, we're caught up in the very purposes and the plans of God. Turn back to Revelation chapter 2 with me. Verse 26. And he who overcomes and keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. To those people who keep the Word of God and hold to the grace of God to the end, they will experience in their lives and in their corporate life as a church the fulfillment of the Word of God, where God Himself gives gifts to Jesus of other people. And the kingdom of God will be advanced. And I think of it this way. As I look at verse 26, to him I will give authority over the nations. And verse 27, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And as vessels of the potter are broken in pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father. Point 4 in the outline says, follow Christ rather than Jezebel, and the result will be changed lives, yours and others. When you hold to the Word of God and to the grace of God, there's only one thing that can happen, folks. Changed lives. That's what happens. When the Word of God is proclaimed under the grace of God, and men and women hear that Word, and their lives are changed. And the kingdom is built. We see this promise in Psalm 2 fulfilled. That's what happens. Verse 27 again. And he shall rule them with the rod of iron. Actually, literally it says, he shall shepherd them with a rod of iron. In other words, Jesus Christ will shepherd His people with strength. The rod is a scepter of iron symbolizing strength. And Jesus Christ is the strong one who walks before His people and is recognized in His Word and by the grace of God. And you know, I think pastors need to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. They need to hold to the Word of God and the grace of God so that people see with their physical eyes the strength that God can bring. You know, I wish in my own life that that would be the case. And I would urge upon you that individual Christians should consider themselves in that same mold. That they should be, as it were, shepherds of strength in the world. People who stand in the midst of a hurting world, and when others look at you, they see the strength of God. I think that's how it ought to be. And it's a wonderful prospect. And I pray that God will bring that about in our lives. What about the other part of verse 27? And he shall rule them with a rod of iron as vessels of the potter are broken to pieces. You know, when it comes right down to it, we are nothing more than clay pots. Vessels. And one of two things in the end is going to happen to each one of us. Either we are going to be broken to the will of God, or we are going to be broken and shattered under the judgmental hand of God. Either we're going to be like a rebellious wild colt which is broken so that it can be utilized properly for the purpose of its master, or we are going to be broken as vessels and ground to powder and scattered in the fires of eternal punishment. It's going to be one way or the other. And when we hold to the Word of God and to the grace of God, glorious prospects await us. See, this is what the letter is trying to drive home. Let's see what it is. And he shall rule over them with the rod of iron as the vessel of the potter are broken, and as I have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. Last week we mentioned properly that the morning star is Jesus. And if you'd look at Revelation 22, verse 16, it says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. What is the special gift given to you when you follow the Word of God and the grace of God? The special gift is none other than Jesus Himself. And when you think about it, isn't it very logical that this should be the case? Because relationships are really important, aren't they? People are really important. Being together as families and having those relationships are really important. And we gain great strength and sustenance in the midst of those relationships. What's the greatest relationship possible? Our relationship with Jesus. And in the end, who do we have? We have Him. He is our inheritance. He is our portion. We're going to sing from a psalm presently, Psalm 73. And in Psalm 73, there is a particular text, which is a proof text to the very first question and answer of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. The first question and answer.
What is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And the proof text comes from Psalm 73, verses 24 and 25. Whom have I in heaven but Thee? Who is it? It's Jesus. He is our inheritance, our cup, our portion. And the person who tenaciously holds to the Word of God and the grace of God has Jesus Christ. And that's the message. And so if you serve Christ with eternal perspective and down-to-earth practicality, you reap eternal benefits. Christ. I think that's pretty good. And the letter ends with these words. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Are you listening to what the Spirit is saying, not only with your physical ears, but with your spiritual ears? Are you? If you are, you realize the wonder of the message. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you that we are in a very real way caught up in the greatest plan in the universe. Your plan and purpose with Jesus Christ in this world. Thank you that that's the case. And thank you, Father, that we couldn't be involved in a greater thing than that. Help us to understand, Father, how that all the other things we do in this life come into perspective properly when we are following you through your word, by your grace. Give us ears to hear, we pray. And grant your blessing to us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.